What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. If you are in New York, it is a beautiful, smart, and stunning day here. Hey, Claude, how you doing?
Hey, Jax, I'm doing good. I had no idea it was a nice day out because I don't open my shades and I live in a bunker. So good to know.
Good to know. By the way, someone commented this, and I think it's very true, that how you doing is the new Good Morning, Millennials.
Never.
It's the quarantine version of Good Morning, Millennials. Because you know what? It's not really morning and it's not really good, but how you dern?
No, but because it's also, I haven't been able to say it. So it's like itching me, you know? It's like, Good Morning, Millennials.
Wow, that was mad pitchy. You are rusty.
Oh, excuse me?
You're rusty. Please. I don't know if it's just like the Zoom audio, maybe for the podcasters it's premium, but like my ears are bleeding.
Just don't ever call me rusty again, sis.
No, but like that was rusty.
Morning, millennials.
Good morning, millennials. Honestly, it is a great morning. I want to start the morning off with a high because last night, the most special thing of all time happened to us, for us, by us, with us, from the toasters. A group of toasters got together. Well, it was one toaster in particular, shout out to Nancy, who reached out to as many toasters as Facebook and Instagram would allow her and asked them to send videos to compile for us a video of what the toast means to them and, you know, what their favorite parts are and just like how it's helped them get through their day or through a tough time. I guess because she sensed that, you know, we weren't at our best recently. Yeah, I didn't even realize how much I needed that video. It was the nicest, sweetest thing. The video is 40 minutes. And
I couldn't believe it.
It was so special. I was laughing. I was crying. There was a few like familiar faces from Camp Toast and from the shows that I know, but there were so many new faces. And it just made me realize like the toast, we're not just talking to each other and ourselves when we sit here and do this show every day. And like, it means something to so many people. And it just like, it made me want to put earrings on, which you can't even see now, I realize, because of my AirPods, but I put on a little Chanel earring for you guys and a pleany ass sweater because like you guys deserve it. And I feel like we just got so off track.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's difficult, especially in quarantine, not to feel like there are five people listening. And I know we have analytics and we know that there's like so many people listening, but I don't know. I've just felt like so isolated in quarantine to the point where like, I feel like we get up every day and like no one's listening to this show. And it's like, we're being so funny and nobody cares. But that's not the case. And I realized that from the video and it just like reinvigorated my spirit. Like I have a whole new spirit for life. And I just felt like what we do has purpose. And like when days are just not easy to get out of bed and like be cheerful, especially in quarantine, like knowing that there's people who rely on this show, like for literally anything, even if it's just to get away from their kids for an hour, like that's important and that adds value. And like, I am not going to stop doing it, even though people want me to. I will not. You can't get rid of me yet.
Yeah, no, we can't stop. We won't stop. It was just exactly what we needed and what we didn't even know that we needed. Like I had just like mentally, I was on the verge of just like giving up, like phoning it in. I was just done with all of this. But look at me today. I'm a new woman. And that's thanks to the toasters. It was just, it was really one of the nicest things like anyone's ever done for us. And we love you. And we are so thankful. And thank you.
And you know what? It made me just like hearing what people love about the community is so much about the Facebook groups. And it just like made me sad that our group is like not in session. And obviously, like, it really, like, I just wanted to, like, reactivate the group last night, just, like, hearing what everyone said, because I know that those subgroups are, like, so much a part of people's lives, and it's all funneled from the main group.
Yes.
So it's definitely on my list of things to have a meeting with you about. I just think there needs to be some major changes and a major purge.
Yeah, well, that was the first thing since all of this has happened that was in the plus column for the main group. And I feel like we're just evaluating, seeing how things go, what people even want. I feel like we could even run a poll, like, do people even miss the main group? Like, I know the subgroups are where it's at, but it was the first thing that got me thinking, like, it's been a week now. Maybe the main group, I mean, we know it wasn't all bad, but maybe the positivity is shining through again.
Yeah, and I think, like, some of the plans I put together, a PowerPoint I'll send to you, some of the plans I have for how the main group moves forward, I think implementing these types of ideas will in the end result in a more positive community, which is what it used to be.
Yes, in addition to continuing to take out the trash.
Oh, always. I mean, I'm taking out the trash every day of my life. That's just all there is to do in quarantine. We acquire so much trash here in the apartment. But
it is so important. It's so important to take out the trash during quarantine. You just can't live amongst trash.
And it piles up. Like, I don't know if you're talking about real trash, but I'm talking about like garbage bags hefty, because literally just between how much we're eating and how much I'm just like living in this house, the trash, I take out the trash like 3 times a day.
No, it's so important. I have like a few mini trash cans. They all build up to one trash can. There's a lot of trash going on here. And I actually do mean legitimate garbage, but it's also is a metaphor.
Of course.
Anyway, so that's why we have a little bit of pep in our step. The video was posted in the Toast After Dark Facebook group. I know a lot of people had wanted to see it, but it's up to the toasters who participated if they want to share it or not.
Yeah, it was just a truly beautiful tribute. Like, I was walking around my house with a smile on my face, like, trying to talk to Ben. I'm like, and then this one girl said, and he was like, cool. I'm like, you don't even appreciate your wife.
No, I was laughing so hard when the girl had everyone was like toasting to the Wild Ones and she was like in a toast to women in country. I was on the floor. I completely forgot about all of that. And then they throw back to the CMA Fest. I was just dying.
Yes, that's so true. Everyone was like, it's just so funny what sticks with people and like what stays in their group of friends, and things that I don't even remember saying or that I remember hearing from you have like stuck with people. And that's just so funny. A toast to women in country. I don't even remember saying that.
No. When we were on the CMA red carpet and we were asking everyone, what are they toasting to tonight? Like literally 70% of people said, I'm toasting to women in country. And okay. It was like, it wasn't planned, but it was planned. Also, the video just got me like wanting to put my best foot forward. And I decided to take out one of my fancy glasses today. And because it's like, I have all these nice glasses. I use this like random Coca-Cola glass from when Zach was a bachelor. Or yesterday I used this little mason jar and it wasn't enough coffee. And I was just like, I can bring some style to the show with what glass I use. I just want to say that these are plant-based straws. I think everyone would be really proud of me. I switched over to plant-based straws a while ago. And I'll give you some. They're so good. They're so good.
No. Okay. In my defense, mine are not plant-based. They are plastic, but it's a bag I bought from Amazon maybe 2 years ago. Like there were so many straws in the bag. I won't be buying another bag, but while I have them, and then I cut them up before I throw them in the trash. I feel like that helps.
No, that helps. And it's better than to just throw them all away, like whole right now.
Right.
And then I took a picture of the label of these plant-based straws because they're so fabulous. And I'm just really living a plant-based life in the queue.
Yeah, you know, I love a PBS, a plant-based straw.
I mean, it's actually a really nice straw. I think we like it. Anyway, so I have my iridescent fancy glass and I'm hitting you with those Pliny vibes. And I didn't even realize like it's an ode to the pastel pack that dropped yesterday. And people are saying the reviews are in. They're saying it's my best work yet, which is really,
it definitely is.
Which really is flattering because like they said that about like the last pack and the one before that, but this is really like a whole new vibe. If you're looking to like amp up your content during quarantine, even just edit pictures for fun, you can go down a rabbit hole just adding presets to old photos. Head to jackieoflow.com, get the new pastel pack. It is everything of the sort. Honestly, I think I might like do a little photo shoot today in the home, like just so that I can use them and post something.
We are just on different planets today. Like I wanted to show my appreciation for the toast, but like I did not put on any makeup or anything different. I think I actually wore this sweater the day before yesterday. For my tour. And I'm definitely not going to do a photo shoot. I'll probably just lay in bed and watch shows all day, but I so appreciate the effort you're putting forward. It's inspiring.
things. It just like makes me, I feel like that's what I bring a lot of to the regular show. And also someone posted, I forget which group it was in, because when I was posting my presets with my old photos, they were like, this is making me miss when like Jackie used to get dressed up for the show. And I'm like, honestly, same. So I thought I'd do like a mix, you know, but I put on almost full glam today. I honestly don't really know what steps I skipped other than eyeshadow. And you can't even tell on Zoom. Like, it's not glam friendly.
No, I'm nervous that when all of this is over, I'm genuinely going to forget like the steps and the procedures that are a part of my everyday makeup routine. Like, I don't even know what the first step is. And I literally have been doing makeup every day for my whole life for like the last at least 8 years. And I think that when the day comes that I have to put on makeup again, like I'm going to have to watch a tutorial. Oh, I'll watch my own tutorial. How about that?
Oh, that's really smart. I want to spend this time like learning new tips and trades. And something that I really wanted to learn how to do is like bomb eyeshadow.
Cut crease,
you know, like the whole nine yards. So I think that might be like an activity I do this week where I just like sit down with all of my palettes, put on a few tutorials and learn how to do my eyeshadow, because I think that would take my look from 0 to 60.
Look what I got. Oh, well, you don't watch Drag Race, but Kim Chi, who was my favorite, you would have loved her, Jackie. She, spoiler alert, didn't win, but that's because she was really just like a makeup glam queen. And in order to be a winner, you have to be like a comedy queen, a look queen. Like, you have to have all, and she really was just like stellar in the looks department and then like couldn't like be funny and couldn't act. But she started a makeup brand when she was right after Drag Race. And I think it's like really, really popular. Look how sick this is.
Oh, ooh, that's nice. Oh, I like the mixture of neutrals and fun colors.
Oh my God, wait, there's a color called Toast.
Which one? Oh, that's a nice color. That's like what I put on my lower line.
I just, I don't like know how to do eyeshadow, but I really appreciate like the pigments and the packaging, and I'm probably just never going to use it, but like look at it all the time.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with a lot of my palettes, but I think I'm gonna like get an education in glam like before the queue is up. You know, there's still a lot of time left.
Let me know if you find a tutorial.
There's still a lot of time left to pick up new hobbies and like new skills, and so I'm gonna try and make the most of it because the toasters put that pep in my step.
Totally, I'm getting back into knitting. I just got my needles from Amazon. I started knitting. I know I told everyone the spring break where Margot sharded for the first time. I told the story last week if you want to go into it. That's when I learned how to knit. And it's just so funny how certain things you never forget. Like I was at my friend Nikki's apartment like a few months ago and she had like knitting needles and she was like starting out. And I'm like, can I try? And I just remembered. Like, it's crazy how those like
muscle memory.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I couldn't think of the phrase, obviously, because I'm dumb. That muscle memory like really stays with you. And I literally was just like knitting while I was sitting at her apartment. So I am going to get back into it. I can't really make anything other than like something linear. So like a scarf or like a blanket, technically, but that's really big. But I think I can make Theo like a mini scarf, and that's what I'm going to do.
Oh my God, Claudia, that's beautiful.
Tis. Yes, it is.
Okay, well, I think it's time to get into stuff, you know. We'll go in and out, yeah, as we always do.
TV recap, I started the show Never Have I Ever, which I want to talk about.
I saw that you did that.
And I think that's all I watched. I was so
late. I'm curious to get your thoughts because that's something that I want to watch, but I need you to tell me if I'm too old for it.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say you're too old for it. I just don't know if you would like it because I am not, like, dying for it. And there's a reason. I'm also only 5 episodes in, but I feel like that's a lot.
That is a lot. I also weirdly have like a lot coming up on my slate because I've been like saving all this stuff. So like I'm just about to start season 2 of Ugly Betty. I still have Hollywood, Dead to Me, and Money Heist season 4. So I'm just like, and then soon The Politician's going to come out, Ben Platt special is going to come out. Like, it's going to be crazy.
I'm so jealous of anyone who hasn't watched Dead to Me season 2. I was talking to Olivia last night and she was like, no, me and Zach haven't started. Like, we're gonna, they were just watching something else. And I was like, Olivia, don't take this moment for granted. Like, it was so good. Or if anyone who's never even watched the show, if you have now have 2 seasons on Netflix of premium fucking content living in Laguna Beach, I just like wanted to be in that house. Like, it is so good. And I'm just jealous of people who are going to have that experience.
Oh, definitely. Well, I guess I'm one of those people and I very much look forward to this.
Oh, can I tell you, you know, I'm a coffee drinker now.
Oh, so we never got a check in on what happened that first day that you drank coffee.
I didn't really feel anything. Okay. And yesterday I drank coffee too. Yesterday I was so peppy on the show and I definitely crashed, but I always crash. So I don't know if that has anything to do with the coffee. But then today I'm like starting to get into a routine. So I go into the kitchen and we're out of coffee. Like the coffee that I've been using, Ben and his dad are obsessed with La Colombe and they get these cans.
Right.
So that's what I was using. I was putting it over ice with a little creamer, hazelnut, non-sugar free, whatever the fuck it's called, coffee mate. And I go in and we're out of cans. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like jonesing now, you know, I'm like an addict. And Ben was like, all right, this is what we do when we run out of instant coffee and when we run out of
the cans.
Ben has literally the most disgusting kosher for Passover, kosher brand instant coffee. I don't know where the fuck he got it. So we put a pitcher of hot water, mixed it in, left it in the fridge, and then we poured it over ice and I added my creamer. I added like a little extra creamer and like a million sugars and it just tastes like a milkshake now because there's like one drop of coffee in it. So I'm not that mad. This is what I wanted for my life, to be like a coffee person. There's just like so much time, energy, money that goes into like finding the perfect formula. And I was always above it, you know, but now I'm not.
Yeah, I'm so below it. Like I'm so in the coffee culture, even though like my coffee rhythm has just been out of step recently. But something also very exciting today, it's just an exciting day with a lot of pep because for the first time since the first week of quarantine, I've been able to get an at-home grocery delivery and it's coming today.
When did you place the order?
I placed it like 2 days ago. There are time slots. It was like a 7-hour time slot. It's obviously not the most desirable, but like I'm home all day. What do I care?
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So I'm using it to like buy all the beverages that are too heavy for me to carry from the store. And so they also have the cold brew concentrate that I love that I haven't had for months. So hopefully starting tomorrow, I'll be back in my coffee rhythm. But I also think it's time for me to get a new coffee machine. And I'm thinking about getting an espresso. And I'm curious.
So expensive.
Well, I drink coffee every single day. It's like such a big part of my life. Like you get what you pay for. Like I'm willing to invest in my future of coffee drinking. So I'm just curious what people think about an espresso. Maybe I should try one once before I go and buy the whole machine. I just like want to get my coffee game more on point because I think it would just make me more excited to like wake up in the morning if I knew I was having like a great cup of coffee.
I feel that. Can I give a quick update from yesterday? We challenged our audience yesterday on the show to either watch Heavyweights or tell us if they've watched Heavyweights as an adult and you have no connection to Fat Camp, like what you thought of the movie. Does the movie still stand? And I got an overwhelming amount of messages being like, I actually recently just watched this movie with my husband. I never went to Fat Camp. And it's so funny. Like, I think the movie 100% exists outside of like our childhood.
Wait, okay, but this girl commented on my photo saying, toaster age 30 watching Heavyweights for the first time tonight will report back. And I haven't heard back from her. So I'm just going to go off of what she says because like she is the exact subject, like someone who had never seen it age 30. So we'll see.
No, I literally got messages from people who are in their late 20s, early 30s, who watched it in recent memory and they said it was fabulous. And they were like, okay. I loved it.
Well, Paige, I'm waiting to hear back from you. My whole case.
Why is Paige better than mine?
I just decided.
Okay, well, I decided that mine's better than Paige.
Okay, well, like you have your witnesses and I'll have mine. And then we'll take it to court and justice will be served for once and for all.
No, justice has been served. I have the proof. And it's just, you know what? If the glove does not fit, you must acquit.
You must. That is true. It's so tough.
Okay. Wait, do we have the Allison Roman like part two story today?
We don't because I personally was over it, but I would be happy to slot it in because the stories are like weak.
Slot it in and not because I find it interesting, but Chrissy Teigen wrote some very eloquent and poignant tweets last night just about what it's like to be like the type of person who's like unfiltered and flippant and then like who gets in trouble for it. And I actually related to it so much and it was just – she was like putting into words like things that I felt. And the story is that Allison apologized, which I don't even care about. It was like literally the best written apology ever. And we'll talk about it. So
apology?
Yeah, I thought it was like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was nice. I just like couldn't believe that after, like, I thought we were on the, like, the tail end of reporting on this story. And then there was like more apologies to come. And I thought she already apologized. And obviously like she feels terrible and just like can't stop saying sorry, and I hope that she feels a little better now. And I just pulled it up, so I will slot it in. I guess Hannah Brown is gonna have to take a back seat. you can listen to The Snatchler for her statement on reflecting on her journey from her 1 year after
wow,
her engagement
I'm
to Jed.
So glad that we're
Me
not talking
too.
About that.
Me too. Okay, without further ado, ET's time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Today's episode of The Morning Toast, I would be absolutely remiss, absolutely devastated. I might even go as far as to say that I would be heartbroken if I didn't get the opportunity to tell everyone that today's episode is brought to you by Care Of. Care Of launched in 2016 with a goal of honest guidance and better ingredients personalized to everyone's individual health needs. In 2019, they launched protein and other powders, expanding their offerings to help more people reach their health goals. Now, in 2020, they are extending that same transparency and customization with their skin and hair launch, a line of high-quality supplements backed by scientific research and made with ingredients that are proven to support beautiful, healthy skin and hair. Care Of helps you work on your beauty goals from all angles with a combination of targeted ingredients for hair, skin, and nails. Care Of listened when a lot of their customers were looking for research-backed supplements for hair and skin that actually works. You can use the Care Of app to get personalized milestones and rewards when you remember to take your vitamins and beauty supplements. There are hundreds of beauty supplements on the market, and even if you find a brand that you trust, it can be hard to know what you actually need or what will work for your specific beauty goals. The best part is that there's no guesswork when it comes to your Care Of beauty routine. Simply take their online quiz and you'll instantly receive your scientifically backed recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, and diet. They don't stop at just hair, skin, and nails when it comes to your beauty goals. They dig deeper to see if underlying causes such as hormones, sleep, or digestion might be affecting them in the first place. Care Of vitamin packs are compostable, so you can do right by yourself and the environment, and you can find information how to compost the packs. Compost. Sorry, I knew that sounded wrong. You can find information on how to compost the packs on their website. I feel like during quarantine, of course, like, what else are you doing? You should be taking care of the inside and the outside of your body and hair, skin, and nails. Like, we're all getting a break. Like, we're not using heat. We're not wearing makeup. We're not wearing nail polish. Like, we should be nourishing the insides. And that starts with supplements. And Care Of is taking care of everything beauty-related and health-related. And everyone's got to get on the Care Of train. And if it's not going to be in quarantine, when is it going to be? If you want 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com. that's TakeCareof.com and enter the code TOAST50 for 50% off your first order. Again, if you want to get 50% off your first order, use the code TOAST50, TOAST50 at TakeCareof.com. Thank you, Care Of, for sponsoring today's episode of The Morning Toast.
Love it. Okay. So I think for the first story, let's start with the Chrissy Teigen, Allison Roman drama because we're on the tail of it and I have all the tweets and I totally agree with you. Okay, so on Monday, Allison Roman doubled down on her previous apology to Teigen and admitted her words came from her own insecurities and white privilege. Quote, "It was stupid, careless, and insensitive. I need to learn and respect the difference between being unfiltered and honest versus being uneducated and flippant." So, if you want to read her whole apology, which, as Claudia said, was very well written, head over to Allison Roman's Instagram page. In response, Chrissy Teigen tweeted, one second. She said, "Thank you for this, Allison Roman. To be clear, it never once crossed my mind for you to apologize for what you genuinely thought. The comments stung, but they more so stung because they came from you. It wasn't my usual news break of some random person hating everything about me. I don't agree with the pile-on, people waiting with bated breath for apologies, deciding if that apology is good, the people who say you were right and never needed to in the first place. There are so many different types in this kind of situation, and TBH, I just want it to be over. I think we are alike in so many ways. I remember the exact time I realized I wasn't allowed to say whatever popped in my head, that I couldn't just say things in the way that so many of my friends were saying. Before, I never really knew where I stood in the industry, in the world. Eventually, I realized that once the relatable, quote, snarky girl who didn't care became a pretty successful cookbook author and had more power in the industry, I couldn't just say whatever the fuck I wanted. The more we grow, the more we get those wake-up calls. Oh, but how I still think some of those things. I just don't unleash on my peers on super public platforms, LOL. I often comment about how I wish I could get away with what I used to now, but the truth is I don't. I've learned a fuck ton from my years being watched and read, and I can really say it makes you a better person. It makes you think about the impact of what you say / who it might hurt. I still think you are incredibly talented, and in an industry that doesn't really lend itself to supporting more than a handful of people at a time, I feel like we all we have are each other."
Okay. First of all, like, put that thread on my gravestone. Like, I couldn't stand by that statement anymore. Like, there are some times where I wish I could just, like, say whatever the fuck I want, and that's what I've been branded as. But it's like, at the end of the day, she's right. Like, being in the public eye, of course, has its privileges and disadvantages. But, like, when you're forced to, like, educate yourself and eventually grow from saying stupid things. Like, it really overall just benefits you. So I just thought that, like, this was taken, like, from my subconscious. I thought it was brilliant. But there are two things going on here. One, that, and two, I really feel like this apology was, like, so, it literally felt like the New York Times wrote it. Like, it was perfect. It just, it literally took all angles of what people were mad at her about. She acknowledged the fact that she didn't even realize the two women that she spoke disparagingly about were both Asian. And, like, what does that say about her subconscious? Like, I just thought that it was so well done. And, like, even though yesterday I thought this was, like, major losery crime, and it is, like, I have absolutely no choice but to accept the apology of someone who has obviously made it clear that she, like, knows why what she said was fucked up.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like Chrissy Teigen is always on the cutting edge of, like, cancel culture. Even when, like, Vanessa Hudgens said what she said, Chrissy Teigen was like, let's not just pile on. Like, people are human. Like, this is a real person. And so I feel like Chrissy Teigen has now been on both ends of it, like the offensive and the offendee. And her take on it is just everything that we need right now, because, like, there are so many people with so many different opinions, and, like, we don't all need to jump on someone, but we also don't all need to be like, you don't need to apologize at all. Like, there is middle ground. And I actually really hope that after this, like, the two of them, it seems like they would get along, and maybe we can move on from this and they can be friends.
Yeah. There's, like, a quote ingrained in my memory from when Logan Paul got canceled for that awful video that he made. And Chrissy was, like, not defending him, and she was speaking in general terms, but she was obviously talking about, like, the cancellation that was happening at that time, which was Logan Paul. And she was basically like, why can't you just, like, stop supporting someone and not, like, have to make a campaign or, like, a hashtag about it? Like, if somebody does something to upset you, of course, as a consumer, you have every right to stop, to choose to stop supporting them. But, like, these public, like, congregations, like, with these movements of, like, trying to ruin someone's life, like, that's, like, why do we have to do that? Why can't you just silently stop supporting someone?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally turned into a party to end someone's career. Like,
hashtag
so-and-so is over party. Like, why? I don't get why that's a party for you. Like, if someone that you love is no longer the person that you want to support, like, that shouldn't be, like, a celebration.
No, it's sad.
Yeah. Anyways, I hope Chrissy Teigen also said that she's taking a break from Twitter, because obviously, like, it all starts with people that support you, and then it turns into, you know, everyone else who has an opinion about you, and she just can't.
Right. That was exactly another thing she said that also was, like, literally in my mind. She was like, you know, day one, you do something, and, like, of course, all your supporters are there, and they're supporting you, and then the next day is when the trolls arrive. Like, they're a little late to the party because they don't follow you, and they start saying terrible things about you and your family and your kids, and that's exactly how it happens. It was just, she really knows. She has been there.
Yeah, so I totally get that. This has just been a wild ride, but I feel like it's cool.
Over.
Yeah. So, that's that on that.
And that's on, period.
Okay, next story, a really crazy story that Claudia sent me this morning that I'm really shook over. Vanderpump Rules editor admits to a personal vendetta against Sheena Shea. After a season filled with humiliating montages on Vanderpump Rules, Sheena Shea finally has an explanation for what happened in the cutting room. Bree Dellinger, an editor on the Hit Bravo show, appeared on episodes 1 and 8 of the Twisted Plot podcast with Evelyn Marley and revealed exactly why Shay's gotten a seeming lion's share of embarrassment in the show's final cuts. Quote, if Sheena knows what's good for her, she'd befriend me because my favorite game is finding all the embarrassing things that Sheena does and putting them all in, she quipped on one episode. She later joked that if Shay was to write a memoir, the title should be Death by a Million Embarrassments. And while she didn't state which cast member she gives more favorable edits to, she admitted that she manipulated the scene between Sheena and Stassi's teenage brother, Nikolai, at the engagement party. Quote, it was so funny. We were watching the scene and we're like, okay, this is over the top. I realize that, but how can we resist? Yes, I set it to funny music and I added a funny soundbite, but she did that. She continued, quote, we asked her in the interview, how young would you go? And we didn't tell her it was for the Nikolai scene, of course. An insider revealed to Page Six on Monday after the episodes were mysteriously removed from Apple Podcasts that Shay has been upset by the way season 8 has played out. Sheena's definitely frustrated with how she's been portrayed, the insider said. She's not the type to pop off when she feels slighted by an unflattering edit. She signed on to be a part of the reality show, which requires her to share her life's highs and lows. She just wishes audiences got to see a more balanced view of her life, not just the most cringeworthy moments. She's been assured by the network and production that she's part of the charade. She's going to be absolutely crushed by hearing that she's actually the butt of the joke.
Okay. Also, what this article didn't mention is that later on in the podcast, this editor like was praising Stassi and Beau about how they're the heroes. And of course, like when you think of who gets a favorable edit and who doesn't, like it's obviously Stassi. Like, look what she got from the show. It's like so many fans, podcast listeners, books, and obviously she's great. But being edited in a positive light these last few seasons has definitely helped catapult that.
Yeah, I mean, any sort of edit, I'm sure a great editor can make Sheena like the most likable character on the show. And yes, you could argue Sheena has done those things, but when you choose to show someone's only embarrassing moments and not the balance of their human moments, it's warped. And like, I think this is so fucked up. And like the fact that she's joking about it, like, this is someone's life. And you know what? Like, Sheena has been the most cringe-tastic character this season. And every like once in a blue moon, we get a glimpse of like her human side when she started crying about like freezing her eggs and this wasn't where I wanted to be. And it kind of explains all the other childish stuff that she does. But if you're saying there's more of those moments and you're just not showing them to us because you want us to see her as this one-dimensional, embarrassing figure, like, this is not nice.
Yeah, no, like, there's definitely, okay, this editor like really has a vendetta against Sheena, which there's honestly no way you can deny, especially not only because she admitted it, but like Sheena's literally been absent from the last few seasons and the parts that we do see are so cringy and embarrassing. And it's like, you think that's her 24/7, but there's obviously like a lot more moments to her that are very earnest or whatever. Like, she's going through this whole fertility treatment. Like, don't you think people would have wanted to see that? Like, other women going through the same thing, like to have left that out, such an important part of someone's life, like, seemed odd. Now it all makes sense. And to not only have a vendetta against someone, which everyone's entitled to, but like to take it out on like your job is weird, but then to like be so publicly like proud of it and go on a podcast and talk about it where you obviously don't think you're doing anything wrong, like, it seems so fucked up. And like, Sheena was on one yesterday. Like, she was literally tweeting like, Andy, DM me, I have tea. And she obviously gave the story to Page Six. I saw it on like a couple fan accounts for like Andy Cohen fan accounts and Vanderpump Rules fan accounts. And honestly, I'm glad that people are talking about it. It's actually like really fucked up. And if I think about the way that I perceive Sheena over the last few seasons, it's like cringy and like we've made fun of her. And it's like, honestly, she probably didn't deserve that.
Yeah, it's just not the whole story. And that's not fair because everyone else has their, even like Raquel and James, like everyone has their redeeming moments and Sheena just never gets that shown on the show. Also, Sheena had tweeted a few weeks ago when the Nikolai thing aired that was like taken so out of context. And of course you're like, well, you did it. But like, when you're manipulating the interviews versus what's happening on the show and putting music, like, it's not right. And I feel like for reality TV, especially a show like Vanderpump Rules, where there's so much there without you having to like craft things like this, it's just like, it's 2020. Like, this isn't this isn't season one of The Bachelor. Like, you know, we're going to get these girls to say crazy stuff. Like, let the kids live and like, just show us their lives. We're fans of them as they are now. Like, it doesn't require that much manipulation.
Yeah. It must be frustrating for Sheena to have to like explain herself after every episode. And when she did tweet that thing, like, this conversation with Nikolai was nothing of the sort. Stassi actually replied and was like, I was there. It was not weird. Like, really, like, having her back, which made me happy, because Stassi, who is someone who's gotten such a favorable edit, not the whole series, but definitely in the last few seasons, it's clear that they like her. And to me, like, there was nothing shocking about this Page Six article.
No, but it's shocking to just see it all written, like, plain out, you know, something that you were feeling, but like, I never gave a second thought to. I was just like, wow, Sheena's really like worse than ever.
Yeah. And it really just is so unethical.
Yeah. Cause it's someone's life.
Yeah, and I get that they signed up for this. I get it. But they signed up to share their lives, and that's what they do. But to have it be so manipulated, of course there's things that get left on the cutting room floor, and of course they play music sometimes. But just to have this person's entire storyline for the last, I would say, four seasons, have everything they do be so manipulated, which I feel like it's been now that I know this, it makes me feel bad for Sheena.
Yeah, but I feel like, yes, they signed up for it, but I feel like they all signed up for a equal playing field amongst cast members. Like, if you want to embarrass every single cast member, then that would be more fair than just singling out one person while you raise everyone else up.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's my thoughts on that. Honestly, justice for Sheena.
Never thought I'd say it, but it's so true.
Yeah. Okay, next story, a little good news. Tina Fey tears up as a telethon raises $115 million for New Yorkers affected by COVID-19. Tina Fey was brought to tears over the generosity of Americans who reached out to help New Yorkers affected by the coronavirus pandemic on Monday night. The Emmy winner and SNL alum was hosting Rise Up New York, the Robin Hood Relief Benefit, a star-studded virtual telethon raising money for the city's leading poverty-fighting organization, when she got emotional while reading the final tally. Is this real? She asked producer, seeing the number for the first time. Okay, $115 million. We did this. You did this. We are difference makers. $115 million. What a great day for New York.
That special was fabulous. Like, they really had quality celebrity, quality talent, quality performances. Billy Joel. It was very, very well done. And I don't say that about a lot of these, like, homegrown specials.
No, you do not. Wow. This is, like, so amazing. Robin Hood is a great organization, and they're turning their efforts towards helping New Yorkers affected by COVID-19. And this is just such a beautiful story.
Right. And we've gone to a Robin Hood, like, fundraiser once. It feels good to know that $115 million is going to, like, a legit organization who's like, in New York, I have seen the fruits of their labor. Like, it's not. Some of these charities are just so ambiguous, and, like, you really never know what's being done with the money. But Robin Hood is, like, in the communities. It's really great. So I hope that this helps a lot of people.
Yeah, some of the A-listers who participated: Jennifer Lopez, Robert De Niro, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Matthew Broderick, Chris Rock, Jake Gyllenhaal, Sutton Foster, Rosie Perez, Jimmy Fallon, Salt and Peppa, Fab Five, Trevor Noah, Danny Meyer, David Chang, Beastie Boys.
I love that they got, like, New Yorkers.
Yeah, me too.
It's great.
Okay, this next story, like, brought a warmth to, like, whatever the opposite of a pit is, like, a glow in my stomach.
What is the opposite of a pit?
Like, something that just warmed the cockles of my heart.
Like, we need to come up with a word.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner's daughter, Stormy, chanting patience in the candy challenge is the cutest thing you'll see all week.
All year.
Kylie Jenner posted a video of Stormy. I guess there's a candy challenge going around where you, like, tempt your child with candy and see if they wait till you come back. You film them. You see if they wait till you come back to eat the candy, as you had said. So Kylie shared this video of us where she left the phone while she told Stormy she was going to the bathroom. And we just watched Stormy sitting there, like, willpower at its finest, chanting patience to herself as she waits for her mom, Kylie, to get back so that she can eat three pieces of candy. It is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And I feel like it's a real window and, like, a testament into what type of kid Stormy is. And she looks like she's such a good kid. And, like, Kylie's such a good mom. Not that I ever thought otherwise, but, you know, celebrity kids can be monsters. Like, we know that. Like, she just seemed like such a lovely girl.
Yeah, like, so respecting, rule following, obviously very full of willpower. I don't know, it's like an interesting social experiment to conduct on your children, and I guess this is obviously the best possible result. It's just interesting.
Yeah, oh my god, my eye just twitched. It's a trend that's on TikTok that I've seen, and it's like a famous science experiment. It's like the marshmallow challenge. I remember seeing it, like, when I was in, like, science grade class in the sixth grade. And honestly, as an adult, I don't think I could pass.
No, and Stormy passed with flying colors.
Flying. She's so cute.
Yeah, I wonder what, like, scientifically this says about her. Obviously, it's a science experiment, like, but what are we what are we proving? What's the hypothesis?
Yeah, I think the hypothesis is that Kylie Jenner's a great mom and her new house looks fabulous.
Yeah, I think that's what was proven as well.
And Kim commented, she was like, oh my God, this is so crazy. Like, Chicago would never, safe would never. She was, like, putting her own kids on blast. It was really funny.
Really funny. Speaking of own kids, if you're watching on YouTube, Fichemin has entered the chat. He's looking for a place to just get cozy. He's in the love sack. I feel like I'm narrating National Geographic. He's looking around. I wonder what he's looking for. He can't get comfortable. I wonder why. He's going round and around, looking for something, perhaps buried treasure. Who knows what is in there? Oh, did he just get a bath?
No.
He looks like he's wet and trying to dry off. Oh, he plopped. He plopped down. Okay. The Fichemin is in the sack. That was so beautiful.
I tried to, like, force him to become, like, in love with the love sack like I am, and he wasn't really taking to it. Like, he's very set in his own ways, and he's not going to change for any woman. or man. And the fact that he just like jumped in there when I've literally thrown him on there 500 times since quarantine started means that it's working.
Yes, he has been sacrificed. Okay, fifth and final story. Richard Kind is the latest star attached to the Tiger King parody musical. And you're probably like, Jackie, why do I care who is Richard Kind? I'll tell you.
Is Richard Kind from Seinfeld? Is he Funkhauser?
Seinfeld from Curb.
Oh, sorry, Curb.
I don't think he's a Funkhauser. He's from Red Oaks. He's Red the Oaks, dad.
Yeah.
Yes. He's
not a Funkhauser. I thought he was Marty's cousin.
No, that's Vince Vaughn. But he's in Curb, but he plays like Larry's cousin or something. I don't know what his role is.
No, I know exactly who it is. He's the dad from Red Oaks, and he was so sad in that show.
So sad. Richard Kind is the latest star to join a cast of Tony-nominated composer Andrew Lipa's Tiger King, the musical, a parody. Lipa's Tiger King-inspired tunes have recently been recorded as outrageous home videos by Kristen Chenoweth, Frankie Grande, and RuPaul's Drag Race star Nina West. Now people are legitimately calling me and saying, I want to be involved, he tells Page Six. My friend Richard Kind wants to be a part of this. He revealed that adding Kind will sing as Howard, Carol Baskin's husband. Chenoweth played Baskin. Lip was working his way up to a show-stopping Joe Exotic tune and says, what I really want is Jared Leto to play eccentric, now in prison, former big cat owner Joe Exotic.
Ooh, Jared Leto, that's good. Jared Leto sings. I didn't realize it was a musical. Now, is this the same one as Nicolas Cage and Kate
McKinnon? No. This is like a parody that has been just circling on the internet. He said it's unclear if the project began just for fun, if it might one day come to a real stage. I feel like this is the best way for a project to be born. Like, it starts as a joke. People, like, it galvanizes people and people are excited, and then all of a sudden it's on Broadway and it's winning Tonys. Like, that is exciting.
I never told you that I ended up watching that Carol Baskin prank video about those guys who tricked her into going on Jimmy Fallon when it was really just their YouTube channel. And I had some strong words about it when I just heard about it, because I thought it was like kind of fucked up and unethical. But when I watched it, it was really well done, and they did a great job. And I loved the vlog showing the intricacies of like what email accounts they made, like how they really got her on the show. And they got a statement from her afterwards saying that like she had a feeling it was fake because all the questions sounded pre-recorded, but it was a funny joke. Like, she wasn't mad about it, and it didn't give me as big of a pit as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I guess it's nice that they didn't like use the opportunity to, you know, embarrass her, make her uncomfortable, but still the premise is just not something that like I think we should be
pioneering.
Yeah,
but it's like this thing that they do on this channel. It's like a popular UK YouTube trend. Like, I saw a lot of videos about it. This one obviously just got the most press. She had asked that they just don't talk about the documentary at all, and they agreed. So the questions were like pretty harmless, like how many cats do you have? So it really it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be, I have to say.
Okay, TV recap time.
Yes, TV recap time, brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. It comes as no surprise that we're all stuck in our homes for a while. Avoid the complacency. It's important now more than ever to stay active and keep working out. Work out and even take classes in the comfort of your own home with Beachbody On Demand, the easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to over 1,300 super effective workouts suited for anybody at any time. The secret to getting results is just getting started. This is the same company that is behind P90X, Insanity, and 21 Day Fix, and now you can check out some of the Beachbody's newest programs like Morning Meltdown 100 and 80 Day Obsession, and start every day strong. They have some of the best trainers and the best programs that you can work out on your own schedule. They have workouts as short as 10 minutes that don't require extra equipment. You can access it anywhere at any time, so your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. It's the best deal in fitness because listeners of The Morning Toast can try it absolutely free. If you want to try this service, you can get a special free trial membership when you text TOAST to 303030. You'll get full access to the entire platform for free, all the workouts, the nutritional information, and support, totally free. Again, just text TOAST to 303030. Jackie and I have been loving a lot of the programs, especially the Morning Meltdown, because you know you do the Morning Toast, and then you get the Morning Meltdown, or you can do Morning Meltdown, and then Morning Toast. It's up to you, whatever your schedule prohibits.
Love. Beachbody is just one of those things that was like made for quarantine and has really elevated my quarantine situation, just like switching it up, getting active and doing different things. I really am loving Beachbody currently.
Okay, TV recap. Let me talk to you about Never Have I Ever. I had gotten so many recommendations from it, for it. And I started to watch it. And the first thing I noticed is that it is filmed on Wisteria Lane. I don't know if you saw my Instagram story.
I saw. But
it's this like suburban neighborhood. They built a new house for Debbie's family, like the main character. Her family is not like a recognizable home. But I saw Susan's house. I saw Bob and Lee's house. I saw the Solis house. It's just, it's honestly the best part of the show. Like truly a trip down Wisteria Lane. Now the show is good. It has a lot of redeeming qualities. I do not like the main character. Like her priorities are so fucked up. She's just like a teenager and like, she has like good friends and she has a good life and her parents are like, her mom is like so lovely. And she's just like, all she cares about is having sex. Like she just has so many blessings in her life and she just thinks her life is terrible, you know? And I just hate kids like that. And she's like, I just know what's going to happen. She's like gonna, you know, try to be too cool for her friends. And then her nerdy friends are going to want her back. Like she kind of bothers me. And the show is narrated by John McEnroe. And there's a reason why, and it's really not that great of a reason. Like he was like, hi, I'm John McEnroe and I'm narrating the show. You'll find out why. And then when you find out why, I'm like, I still don't understand why you're narrating the show. And they gave him like a script written by like a 90-year-old trying to be a millennial, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says things like, that's lit. And it's just the narrating is bothering me. It's like a trend in Netflix now, like to have a narrator, like too hot to handle. I don't like it. Like they try so hard to be like funny and millennially and like talk to teenagers. And it's not it. The show is not bad. The episodes are nice and short. I just am not like loving it. And it got such positive feedback, but I'm not getting that. But it's not bad. I can't explain. Like, I actually really like how they dive, like, because it's a Mindy Kaling production. They talk so much about Indian culture. And like, the more I learn more about other cultures, the more I realize, like, we are all the same. Like, the way they were talking about, like, classic, like, Indian mom stuff, like, it could have been classic Jewish mom stuff. Like, it was really very similar. It's good. I actually like a lot of, like, the cultural stuff. Like, one of the cousins has to get arranged marriage, but she falls in love with this guy at college. Like, I like that. But, like, the high school stuff is, like, not what it's not doing it for me. And I live for high school stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe, like, we're phased out of high school stuff. That's what I meant when I said I'm too old. Like sometimes when I read books or watch movies about like kids in high school now, I'm just like, that's just not me.
Do you still enjoy like To All the Boys I've Loved Before?
I do because like it's so well done. It's impossible not to enjoy it. But recently I've just come to the conclusion that like when it comes to high school-y things, I'm just not in high school, like and far from it.
Wow, that's actually crazy because it's still my favorite genre of film. Like I've just been thinking about how so many of those types of movies that we've been watching like since we were too young. Like we were seeing Mean Girls when we were like 8. Like
oh, but so- like when I watch movies from when we were in high school and like the movies that we grew up with about high schoolers, those I love because like those are my people. But now being 15 years older than these people, it just makes me feel old.
I guess I didn't get that feeling. I don't think that's why I'm not loving it. I don't know what I'm not loving about it, but it's just, people are saying it's like the perfect show and it's just not, but it's good.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad that there's content.
Yeah. And then I also watched some more RuPaul Drag Race. I've kind of slowed down because I was watching last season a day and it was just, it gets very monotonous because it's the same thing every time, like mini challenge, runway, Chantel, you stay. Like it's very monotonous. But I'm on season 10 now, and I just want to make a prediction. I'm on, like, episode 7. I think Eureka wins, and that's all I'll say. Cannot stand the Vixen. Such a mean girl. Living for Asia. Like, maybe one of the most beautiful queens who's ever been on the show. Like, the makeup is just getting so good. Like, I need to have a drag queen do my makeup. Like, the way that they just give themselves perfect faces and, like, lift up everything. Everything of the sort.
Yeah. Wow. That's what we need to learn in the queue. Mm-hmm. I've just been watching Ugly Betty. I didn't start watching TV until so late last night because I just found ways to busy myself. And then I watched the toaster video, which was 40 minutes. So I probably started watching TV at 9:30. I caught two episodes of Ugly Betty. And now when I start watching tonight, I'll be on season 2, which is exciting. I love a glow up between like seasons on shows. And I look forward to seeing the differences between season 2 and season 1 in Ugly Betty.
Yeah, like with a show like that, it's like the first season, you don't know if you're going to get a second one. Then the second one comes, you get more budget, more wardrobe, and it just elevates it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for that, but I'm still loving it. Like, it totally holds up. I've seen that other people have started watching it at my behest, and they are thoroughly enjoying it as well. So I think this has been a great decision for me, and I'm just going to keep watching it until I can't no more.
Yeah, that time's going to come. Like, that always happens. Oh, just
always. Yeah, whether the show peters out or I peter out or I run out of episodes, like, there will come a time when, you know, I think I have a good solid week with it left.
Okay. That's
and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah.
And then what's on your docket? I'm going to watch, I'm going to finish Never Have I Ever, and then I want to watch the new Jerry Seinfeld special. I heard it was good.
On my docket is, I think after this, I wonder what I'll watch first, Dead to Me or Hollywood. I think I'll watch Hollywood first, then Dead to Me season two, and then Money Heist. I just
feel like you're never going to watch Money Heist.
I know, because you just, like, get so sucked into it. I don't know. But the more I keep putting it off, the better. Like, I need to have things to look forward to.
Yeah. Totally. That's the key in quarantine. Cannot wait for my yarn to get here. Like, even if, that's my big excitement of the week.
Even if I never watched Money Heist season four, like, I will always have it to look forward to.
That's true. We'll always have Money Heist.
Yeah.
That's a great name for today's episode.
No, today's episode is the one with the pep in our step.
So I actually just texted her, and she said that she's done writing, if you are.
Yeah, she said that her wrist hurts and she's fucking done. So maybe she should get a computer. she can type instead. So I guess that's all she wrote. She also wanted to let you know that she was, like, getting a little wishy-washy with the writing, because she's just been, like, editing her photos with Jackie O Flow presets. And you should get some too. Head over to jackieoflow.com to get your flow on and popping.
Yeah, she said that to me too. She was, like, sending me selfies of herself, like, in a cotton candy sky, and it was beautiful.
She's, like, really feeling herself.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us the Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys so much. Have a great day.
Bye.